Tonight I'm speaking on the subject that you've been repeating all month, bread. And no doubt you have wondered why. The bread of God is a very important theme in Scripture, and I'd like to talk about bread. You ladies probably already have considerable familiarity with bread. You bake bread occasionally. You all buy it regularly. But you don't have the same sense about it that the ancient world did. And in America particularly, we tend to think of the main dish at every meal as being meat or fish or something like this. But in the ancient world, to serve meat was a rarity. You recall when the prodigal son came home, the father slew the fatted calf. That was not done every day. That was a very special occasion. And so to have meat on the table was very special. What was there every meal was bread. And that means the ladies in the ancient world were busy. And to bake bread is not easy. It's complicated. And almost always in Scripture, it is referring to wheat bread, wheat flour that's involved. On occasion, it may be barley. Barley is a little coarser and the loaf is kind of hard. But some kind of bread was there every meal. So with that as a background, the first reference to bread in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3, if you will turn there. In Genesis 3:19, the Lord speaks to Adam and to Eve after the fall, after the damage had been done. And in verse 19, he assures them, Adam in particular, that in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now this tells us that God ordained that mankind eat bread by real effort. So when you ladies struggle with a recipe and try to bake something and it's hard and all that, remember, that's biblical. Don't expect it to be easy. Now, why does it have to be hard? Well, it has to be hard because of sin. If everything goes all right and everything is smooth for you, you forget God. I mean, this is a universal thing. When things are all right, you don't worry, you don't pray, you just go on because it's very pleasant. When trouble comes, you remember to pray. Well, that's a convicting thought. We shouldn't have to be in trouble to pray. But we all know the feeling extremely well. When the difficulties are there, then we start asking God for help. And so He builds into our life difficulties. Not to make life hard for us, but to cause us to pray. Now friends, think of that. Before things get tough and difficult, pray. The more you pray, the less the troubles have to come. But they're there because they need to be there to remind us to bring God into our life, to ask Him to help, to ask for guidance, to ask for aid in this, that, and the other. And so, by the sweat of your brow, you have to live. And life is hard, deliberately hard, so that we would pray. Never forget that. The difficulties are very important for us. If we didn't need them, we'd all be real prayer warriors. But unfortunately, we forget, and the troubles bring us back to God. In Exodus chapter 16, God supplied manna for the Israelites. Manna was God's bread for the people in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Here is God's bread for the wilderness wanderings. God was going to do something absolutely miraculous with His people. He was going to take them into the desert, where no one can survive, And he was going to sustain them for a whole generation, 40 years. Now, some of you may remember that notorious Bishop Pike, who was an unbeliever and an atheist, even though he was a Christian bishop, so-called. But he didn't believe anything. And ultimately, in his life, he was reduced to spiritualism and whatever. He went to Israel, and he wandered in the desert, deliberately seeking seances with spirits, if you can imagine. And he wandered off in the desert and disappeared. They found his body later. That's right. He died in the desert. It didn't take very long. The desert is very inhospitable. And here God is bringing his people, a whole nation, into the wilderness where it's absolutely hopeless. And they know it. The Egyptians certainly knew it. That's why they pursued after them. But God was all they needed. Now, friends, that speaks to our hearts. Because to us, the world is a wilderness. Oh, it allures us to be satisfied there. But it is a wilderness, spiritually speaking. And the only thing that can help us in this wicked world is God's presence. If he is with us, we're all right, wherever he has put us, wherever his calling has brought us. And it may be dangerous. There may be enemies there. And life may be hard. That's all right. All you need is God. He is our manna. He is the bread that keeps us alive. No man lives by bread alone. He lives by the grace and blessing of God. And there are rich people who have tremendous banquets. They can purchase anything they want and feast anytime they want to, and they die just like everyone else does. God keeps his people alive. It doesn't depend on mere food, but the grace of God. Now, it's significant that in Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." And that tells us something about the nature of Scripture. Scripture is God's supernatural food for us. We don't have manna in the desert. We have Scripture. And the Scripture is our sustaining power. The Scripture feeds us with strength and courage and enthusiasm for the work. It's that divine bread, that manna that we need. And that's why we have to keep feasting on the Scripture, chewing and digesting what is in Scripture, keeping it in our minds by memorization, going over the chapters again and again. We're strengthening ourselves with the bread of life. And once again, in the Old Testament, the people would know exactly what that meant. But for us, you know, there's a gap there. We don't have that idea of bread all the time. But in Israel, that was a very important part of things. The matzo, the bread that was used in the Last Supper, it's kind of like a big cracker. They would take that bread, the dough, and slap it on the wall of an oven. And it would cook on the wall. They'd peel it off when it was done. Here's this, like a big cracker. And that was part of their bread. They also had challah bread, which is a braided bread. They would have rolls of it and braid it together into a loaf or into a ring. Now, they knew both of those, and they still make challah bread. Over in Israel, you can get that. That's a great delicacy. My wife learned how to make challah bread. So it's something that is a very tasty kind of bread. Now, these breads were used in the service and worship of the Lord, because there was bread, the loaves, upon the altar before God. And they were kept there and baked fresh every day. That was a very important part of their worship. It was something set before God as an act of worship. And so it was integral in their very life of religious worship of God. We don't have that same feeling toward bread. We have it all right, and a fresh loaf of bread is delicious to eat, but it's kind of a rarity for us. Our bread comes in packages most of the time. It's not the same thing, but back in the ancient world, it was baked fresh all the time, and it was the staff of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, Moses delivers warnings to the people of Israel before they enter the land. And he says to them, Deuteronomy 8:3, He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, this tells us something very important. No one stays alive because he has a good diet. No one stays alive just because he eats well. He stays alive because that's God's will, and God sustains him. And we as believers should have that very clearly in our minds. God is our sustainer. God is our protector. And that is always the case for God's people. For the world, they think a good diet and vitamin supplements and so on is all they need. But it won't work. The Israelites understood very plainly that God is our sustainer. And the bread was a picture. It was physical food that they knew they needed, but God's sustaining grace they needed just as much. And we must have that consciousness with us. We need God's presence. We need His grace day by day. And as He imparts it to us, we are blessed and prosper. And mere food will not do it for anyone. The Lord Jesus quoted this very verse. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus had several important things to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, in which He taught us concerning bread. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we have the petition in the Lord's Prayer that we all know by heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we are praying not merely for physical bread, but for sustaining grace. We are praying for all that we need to keep ourselves alive. And the bread was that symbol of God's sustaining power, sustaining His people. And so when we ask for bread, we ask for sustenance, that He would supply to us all that we need in this realm. So you don't have to give Him an itemized list. I need this and that and the other. He knows all of that ahead of time. And the bread is the word for whatever we need to keep alive and well and serve Him. And so we ought to be praying for that. And not just assuming that it will always come. We need to be asking the Lord for exactly what we need, because He knows what we need. And oftentimes we don't. We pray for things that, frankly, are unwise. We'd like to get different things and we fail to get them because God knows we didn't need them and shouldn't have them. It's not that He is not listening. He is listening very carefully. But when we pray, we need to pray always with the idea of God's sustaining power. We need daily bread, whatever that is, and He knows exactly what it is. That is what we need. And we can rest in that, that His provision is fully adequate, that His presence and His grace is going to sustain us, and He'll see to it that there's the right bread on the table also. But when we pray, we must recognize everything we need must come from God. We don't manufacture it ourselves. We don't put together a diet that is so perfect that we have everything we need. No, God sustains His people. And that prayer must be for everything we need, including the spiritual graces that we need, as well as physical sustenance. I'm afraid many times our prayers to God are for cake rather than bread. We're asking for things with frosting on them. The frosting might not necessarily be good for us, but we ask for it anyway. And so all of life is like this. Oftentimes we accumulate things in this life that are not necessarily good for us, but we like them. And God graciously supplies them more than what we need. But we must recognize that He knows exactly what we need. And He can give us that diet, those circumstances, those provisions that are precisely what we need. And we need to depend upon Him for that. He is our sustainer. In chapter 6 of Matthew, dropping down to verse 30, the Lord refers to the flowers of the field, mentions that even Solomon was not arrayed like these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Yes, we must have that confidence in God, that assurance in his provision, that he will provide that bread that we need. He will provide that sustaining grace. That is faith, and we walk by faith. We need that attitude of trust. Will you turn to Mark chapter 6? In the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, dropping down to verse 30, the apostles returned from their preaching ministry and gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now here's the ministry of the apostles. They were going about preaching, teaching, as the Lord commanded them. And they were busy all day long doing things. And they obviously didn't have all the special diet that they would perhaps have desired. They were hungry, and they had been working hard, and they had been so busy at the Lord's work, they had skipped meals. And it was time for a rest. You know, God does understand about our exhaustion. We get tired sometimes and need a rest. And he gives us that rest. Sometimes we don't expect it. But we get it because it's right on time. And God provides that spiritual rest for us. And here the apostles, who hadn't even taken the trouble to eat, now needed to come apart a little bit and rest. And the Lord was going to provide them with a very special meal, most unexpected. And this introduces us to the feeding of the 5,000. And that is not an accident. It is the Lord's provision. Could he sustain his apostles? Why, of course he could. He's going to do it for 5,000 people besides them. And let them know the kind of power that he has to sustain his people. Now the apostles, we see them later on in the book of Acts, they have a striking confidence in the provision of God. They have a trust in God's providential care, a boldness in ministering for him that is highly challenging for us. And they have that because they were observers of the Lord. And they knew from experience that the Lord always understood their needs and always provided for them. He was the bread of God. He sustained them. And they knew it. And so they went forth in Acts when the time came and ministered in his stead with that confident proclamation. They were sure that the Lord was sufficient for them. Friends, we need to catch that from Scripture. We must not be hesitant about the service of the Lord, the witnessing for the Lord, the proclaiming of his word. We must be sure that he does know and understand his people's needs, that he does sustain us, that he is the bread of God for us. We need to share that bread with others who don't know and are languishing with malnutrition from spiritual hunger. In John chapter 6, we have a sermon that is a very important one, dropping down to verse 32. The Lord Jesus said to the multitude, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now there's our verse, finally. Now this is important for all of us to understand. The bread of God is not a material physical substance. The bread of God is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is our sustainer. His power keeps us alive. His grace sustains us day by day. And we need to recognize His power in that regard. And we need to fill our hearts and minds with the bread of the Word, that we may feed upon that portrait of the Lord Jesus, whether in the messianic passages of the Old Testament or in the precious records of the New Testament Gospels. We need that for our spiritual well-being. He is the bread that we need to absorb and digest and make part of ourselves. Now, the Lord had looked on the multitude on that occasion, and they looked like a flock of sheep without a shepherd. No one cared for them. And that's typical of this world. The world has all kinds of programs for the unfortunate, but their heart is really not in it. They're not really doing all that they could. But God knows. God sees what is there. And He understands perfectly. And so we have a message for people, whatever their conditions in this world, that God has provided the true bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can meet all their needs, sustain them in any situation, and give them everlasting life by His grace and power. And we must recognize this, that we have the answer to the world's needs. In verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now this tells us the supernatural nature of the Lord and His salvation. When you come to the Lord Jesus, you can have every sin blotted out. You can have every sorrow removed. You can have every weakness strengthened and reversed. My friends, we must realize how thoroughly powerful and adequate the Lord is for every human need. Bread was the staff of life. Our Lord is life. He is everything that we need daily. His strength sustains us perfectly. In verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He opens the door wide. He is not going to hoard the bread. He invites everyone to come. The one who comes sincerely will find everything he needs in Christ, and he will not cast him out. Every one of you who are saved can testify to that. You came to the door to knock, and you found that he was the door and it was open. And you are welcomed in. Every person who comes to Him finds that same thing. And from then on, He is your sustainer. He is the bread that keeps you alive. That bread of life we treasure because it means eternal life to us, not just a few days here. In verse 40, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." This is God's will, His Father's will, that every last person who comes to the Lord Jesus and asks for salvation will have it, and will be resurrected in glorious power at the end of the age. This is a promise that we can stand upon and be sure of. There ought to be no timorous worries about the Christian faith and your perseverance that's in the hands of the Lord Jesus. You trust Him and He is not going to fail you. You believe in Him and He is going to sustain you. That is surely what He is saying in this sermon and what we see all through the Scriptures. God knows our needs. He is fully able to meet them. And it's all met in the bread of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Everything that we need is in Him. For you who are young, preparing for the ministry preparing for a life of service for God somewhere. Remember this. What you need is the Lord Jesus. It's not just more degrees. It's not worldly acceptability. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. If you have Him in your heart, and you know His Word, He has a place for you in His plan. Too many young people get their eyes set upon worldly attainments. They're thinking, well, if I can just get a few more letters after my name, you know, then I'll be acceptable. That won't make a bit of difference. What will make a difference is your knowledge and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him, if you walk with Him, and His presence is the garrison of your heart, you're going to find that you are equipped to accomplish His purpose. And without that, it doesn't matter how many degrees you get, how many seminars you attend, nothing works except His presence. And the Lord Jesus is there. His power is there. And He can make your words effective. He can make your witness effective. It's not your eloquence that counts. It's His presence. He is the bread, the sustaining grace that you need and everyone you minister to ever will need. That is what we must remember. In verse 47, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." Now this tells us, beyond any doubt, that the Lord Jesus is what we need. He can sustain us. And He invites us to trust Him, to believe in Him for every step of the pathway. And that is the believer's assurance. We walk with the Lord Jesus. It's His pathway. It's His task. We walk homeward with the Lord Jesus, for He's leading us to Himself. And the day will come when we will leave this realm and enter His presence. And the living bread will be part of our satisfaction forever and ever. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything for His people. We must make it everything for ourselves. In verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And so He died upon the cross for us. He gave His life as a living bread, consumed, and yet alive forevermore. He is the great King, and what He did graciously supplied the life for His people. And in the life to come, He will still be the bread of life for us. But we will be satisfied with His presence all the time, never an interruption, sustaining grace that will be absolutely perfect. And now, Revelation chapter 2. And verse 17. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus speaks to the church at Pergamos, which was a worldly church. But it was a church that was being persecuted and stood for Christ. And in verse 17 He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." Here the message is a message of assurance and comfort to God's people. To the overcomer, that certainly means every born-again saint, every individual who has turned his back upon the world and sought the Lord Jesus as his bread, his life, his all in all, He will give him hidden manna. People can't see sustaining grace. They can't see the presence of the Lord Jesus. But He will give Himself to His people. And it is the manna in the wilderness that sustains us, that day by day upholds us in our walk. And it's not a thing, it's the Lord Jesus Himself. And the world wonders at us because they don't know the Lord Jesus and have no experience of hidden manna. But we understand it. And the trouble is we don't usually go to the Scriptures and ask for that manna and seek the sense of His presence and sustaining grace for whatever it is that we're facing. We need to. The Israelites gathered manna every day. We need to open this precious book and gather the manna every day. Fill our souls with the strength that comes from this blessed book. He is that hidden manna. But He will also give a white stone. And the white stone was the vote of approval. His approval for the believer. There's nothing like that to ease the conscience of the believer. If you have the approval of the Lord Jesus, doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. Doesn't matter whether they think you are a crackpot or a fanatic or whatever. They're free to fling terms about like that. Never be discouraged. If you're standing upon His Word, obedient to His will, eating the hidden manna, you have His vote of approval. Whatever the world says or thinks does not count. He is the only person who counts. Friends, are you feasting on the hidden manna? Are you filling your heart and mind with this blessed book, eating the sustaining grace, eating the bread of life, digesting who the Lord Jesus is and what He has said and what He wishes you to do for Him. The bread of God is our Lord Himself. We must live in the sense of His presence, His provision, His sustaining grace. It is all we need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, maybe you have been murmuring against the Lord. Life is so hard. Everything is going against me. And it may be discouraging, but not when the Lord Jesus is part of the situation. If you've been bowed down and murmuring, would you in this quiet moment ask the Lord to give you a joyful spirit, a sense of His presence, the grace that you need for whatever it is, and commit your life into His hands in faith and trust? If that's what you need, would you slip up your hand? We'll pray for you. God bless 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 you. O Lord, how we thank Thee for who Thou art. We thank Thee that Thou art the bread of God. We need Thee desperately. And we ask that Thou would especially warm the hearts of these who have asked for special grace. We pray that Thou would summon them into Thy presence. Give them a sense of who Thou art. That sustaining grace that You can impart to them. We pray that Thou wilt help them, that they may fasten their attention upon Thee and not circumstances, that they would eat the living bread. We ask for all Thy saints who are here gathered. Give us each one, Lord, the bread that we need day by day. Feed our souls. Strengthen us by Thy presence. Fill us with Thy love and help us by Thy grace, Lord, to stand for Thee in this wicked world, to live for Thee and be good witnesses for Thee, to honor Thee, because for us Thou art all in all. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake.